Chapter 32. 2040 hours. November 3rd, 2552. Military calendar. Slipstream space near Zeta Dorada system. Aboard UNSC Prowler, dusk. Enable stealth protocols, Commander Richard Lash ordered. Prepare for transition to normal space.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Commander Julian Waters turned to the dusk's bridge officers.
External power sources offline, he said. Lock ablative baffles. Secure engine dampers.
Lieutenant Bethany DeRuno at her nav station cross-checked the calculations for the slip space to normal transition.
We're almost there, sir. 30 seconds.
At the op sensor station, Lieutenant Joe Yang said,
Rig for dark and silent running, sir. 5 points confirmed.
Lash personally rechecked everything on the display by the captain's chair. All shipshape. So why did he have a feeling everything was about to hit the fan? Answer. In his short tenure as commanding officer of the Dusk, imminent disaster had been the norm. He expected no less this time. Go to normal space, he ordered. Start the clock. Waters set the chronometer and said,
Time on mission, 15 and counting.
Lash glanced at his old-fashioned spring-in-gear wristwatch, a gift from his dad when he graduated from OSC.
Keep it wound, son.
He checked. It was indeed wound tight. The bridge lights dimmed to red as the ship's power shunted to the Shaw Fujikawa Translite Drive Particle Accelerator, and it ripped a hole back into the normal three dimensions of interstellar space. The trio of blackened view screens sparkled with stars. One point of light was unusually bright. The main screen centered on this star, an astronomical parameter streamed alongside Zeta Doradus. Elliptical orbits traced of the 6 innermost planets.
Positive fix on stellar references, Lieutenant DeRuno said. We're slightly off target, sir.
3 million kilometers.
Move us in, Lash ordered. 1/3 full ahead on intercept course for the 4th planet. Tell Lieutenant Commander Cho in engineering to start recharging the slipspace capacitors.
Aye, sir, she said.
She bit her lower lip, and Commander Lash knew that meant she was nervous too, sensing something amiss already on this mission. The dusk skimmed through space, black on black. Only a telltale flickering of the background stars gave the slightest indication that anything was there. Waters glanced at the chronometer and whispered,
Sir? 13 minutes to go. Barely time to close on the target while running dark, let alone gather a detailed analysis.
Time was never on Commander Lash's side. Either there was too much time and his crew waited days or weeks stealthed, or, as was now the case, they had to rush and balance gathering accurate data with remaining hidden. It was a hell of a choice. The fate of thousands of lives and 8 other ships depended on this. On the other hand, if the dusk were detected, no intel would get back. Not to mention, they'd all be dead. 18 months of crew attrition and constant action were now taking their toll on Lash's officers. He watched Lieutenants DeRuno and Yang and saw the combat fatigue mirrored in their glazed, dark-circled eyes. They had endured endless waiting, punctuated by salvos of Covenant plasma and laser fire. They'd witnessed the fall of 4 colonies and the cremation of billions. They were close to the edge. For that matter, so was he.
We have our orders, Lash told Waters.
15 minutes in, and then we transition back.
We'll do our best with the time allotted. They had limited time for 2 reasons. First, past 15 minutes detection by Covenant sensors grew at a statistically geometric rate. Second, after 15 minutes, the Dusk's ability to find the rest of their battle group in slipspace would exponentially decrease. Lash sat back, and in the fine tradition of Prowler commanders everywhere, he practiced exuding patience. The Dusk's journey back to Earth had occurred in record time. They'd caught a wake in slipstream space, one indeterminably larger than the Covenant wake they'd followed. Their nav AI reported, Cilician-like wave patterns detected near Halo construct. Lash had no idea what had caused it, only reported it to Lord Hood, who had considered his report of slipspace wakes and then immediately ordered them to attempt the same trick
and follow the Spartan strike team's vector until they reached remote station Tripoli. There they would rendezvous with the battle group under the command of Admiral Carl Buster Patterson, provide assistance to the Spartan team, and hopefully obtain new technologies that would turn the tide of this war. Lash had heard rumors of the Spartans' audacious actions, boarding a Covenant ship, nuking its sister ship, destroying the Tallo Negro del Maíz orbital stalk in the process, the stuff legends were made of. He was more than happy to stay in the shadows. No vid broadcasts about his glorious death, thank you. The Dusk had had no chance at Earth to take on a full crew or resupply. Instead, they transitioned immediately to slipstream space to catch the rapidly dissipating wake of the Spartan-captured Covenant ship. "Maximum range for the X-Elf radar system," Lieutenant Yang announced. 8 minutes on the clock, sir." "Start a high-resolution series," Lash told him. "Planet surface to the Lagrange points." "Coming online now," Yang said. He straightened. "Two contacts in high planetary orbit. Covenant destroyers." Silhouettes flashed on Lash's display, confirming Yang's analysis. "Heavy destroyers," Lash murmured. "Enough concentrated firepower to take out a dozen UNSC prowlers." Waters asked,
"Could one be the Spartan ship?"
"We could send a narrow-band encrypted ping, sir." "Anything is possible with Spartans," Lash said, "but it's not our job to communicate with them. We're here to gather data for Admiral Patterson's strategic consideration." Waters closed his eyes, thinking a moment, and finally said,
"Aye, sir."
The lieutenant commander wanted to get into the fight. It was a deadly sentiment for the officer of a prowler. Lash sympathized. Waters had long ago lost his wife and children on Harvest, but stealth was their only defense against such a force. Vengeance had no place on his ship. "Debris in orbit," Yang said. "Metallic structures. Unknown alloy composition on spectroscopic analysis."
"Recent combat?" Waters asked.
"Aye, sir. Residual plasma detected, however, insufficient tonnage to account for even one Covenant destroyer." "Come to course 020 by 325, Commander Lash ordered Lieutenant DeRuno. "Cut engines and shunt the power to recharging slipspace capacitors." She focused her laser-like attention on her nav controls. "Coming about. New trajectory set. Our inertia will take us in for a tight orbit." All trace of her fatigue vanished, and she tapped a rapid-fire message on her keyboard and then replied, "Lieutenant Commander Cho reports capacitors at 50%. They'll be hot in 6 minutes. Go active camouflage," Commander Lash told Waters. Lash forced himself to remain collected. He felt like a fraud, but he had to try to maintain the illusion of confidence for the sake of his officers. He would never let them know how scared he was.
"Active camouflage online," Waters said. "Texture buffer full. 4 minutes on the clock."
The Dusk dove toward the twilight demarcation line of the planet. The normally matte-black ablative coating on her dorsal surfaces flickered with patterns of cirrostratus and lapis ocean and glowing orange sunset. "Radiologicals?" Lash asked. "No Argus effect beta radiation detected in the magnetosphere," Yang answered. "The Spartan team has not detonated any Fenris warheads."
"Is that a good or bad thing?" Waters murmured.
Lash wasn't sure. If the Spartans had been here, he'd expect there to be a swath of destruction. "Planetary energy sources?" he asked Yang.
"Nothing, sir," Yang answered, as he pored over the data flashing on his screens. "We still have 1/4 of the planet's surface to scan, though. It'll take 7 minutes in this orbit to cover that area."
1 minute on the clock," Waters told him.
He hesitated, as if he had more to say, but didn't. Lash knew what he wanted. A full orbit, more time, and a close pass near those Covenant combat assets. Waters wanted to be a hero. "We're following Admiral Patterson's orders to the letter," Lash said. "We've got 2 Covenant warships on the other side of this planet. No detectable sign of Spartans. No nukes triggered, and we haven't been seen. That's enough." Lash locked gazes with Waters. Waters looked away, frowned, but nodded. He said,
Rig for slipspace transition.
Aye, aye, Lieutenant DeRuno said. She sighed, visibly relaxing at the decision to leave. Matrix calculations input. Ready for transition in 17 seconds.
Lash fidgeted in the captain's chair. It was the right move to leave. If they executed a full orbit, their luck would most certainly run out, and waiting for their recon data in slipspace was Patterson's battle group of 8 ships. 2 Covenant destroyers were a threat, but it was accepted that 3-to-1 odds in the UNSC's favor against Covenant forces was an even match. 4-to-1? They rarely had such odds in this war. So why did this feel all wrong? Initiate slipspace transition, Commander Lash ordered. Around the dusk, space flashed blue and white, and the stars vanished. 8 UNSC ships dropped from slipstream space into black interstellar vacuum, and there was a fireworks show of blue Cherenkov radiation and spiraling subatomic particle decays. Commander Lash used this to his advantage.
Set new course to port, perpendicular to fleet attack vector, he ordered Lieutenant DeRuno.
Aye, sir.
Under the red glow of the bridge's battle lighting, his officers looked more alive now, and more scared. The stealthed dusk moved away from the destroyers, carrier, and cruiser of Admiral Patterson's battle group. Lash wasn't running away, a sentiment he found himself repeating ever since he'd witnessed the events at the Halo Ring. He had volunteered the dusk to go back and scout the planet on a second recon mission, but the Admiral had told him there was no time. He was going to catch those Covenant bastards with their pants down and strike while they were near the planet's gravity well. With the odds in his favor, it was a sound tactic. Still, it bothered Lash that the Admiral committed so many lives without a complete picture. Move us into an elliptical orbit around the dark side of Onyx, Lash ordered. Set apogee to 50,000 kilometers, ahead 1/3 power.
New course set, sir.
Lieutenant DeRuno turned to face him. Looking pained, she opened her mouth to speak, hesitated, and then quickly said,
I beg your pardon, Commander. I thought we had orders to remain clear of the combat.
We will, Lash said, but we're going to finish that planetary scan. He moved to the nav station and set one hand on Bethany's shoulder.
Just take us in nice and easy.
Her eyes locked forward on her screens.
Yes, sir.
To Lieutenant Yang, he said, monitor the engine thermals and push us past 1/3 power, right up to the dark line limit. Yang swallowed and then replied,
Aye, aye, Commander.
Lash danced a fine line. He wanted speed and invisibility.
Action on screen,
Lieutenant Commander Waters announced. On the central viewer, flashes appeared in the dark. Admiral Patterson had launched his Alpha Strike. Magnification 40, Lash ordered. The 2 Covenant destroyers snapped on center screen. Scattered Archer missiles detonated harmlessly on their shields. The ships turned out of orbital alignments to face their enemy, and in doing so, closed ranks. 3 white spheres popped behind the vessels, expanded and enveloped the now clustered enemy destroyers. Jets of supercharged ions funneled downward into the planet's magnetosphere.
Perfect placement of the nukes,
Yang murmured, glancing between the viewscreen and his instruments. Maximum destruction and radiation trapped by the planet so the fleet can move in.
And finish them off.
Waters rubbed his hands together in unconscious anticipation. The fireballs cooled to red, and a single sleek silhouette emerged. One of the Covenant destroyers had survived. Plasma charges launched toward the center of the UNSC battle group, directly at Admiral Patterson's flagship carrier, the Stalingrad. The prows of the UNSC ships flared as their magnetic accelerator cannons fired. Lines of flame and superheated slugs crossed the space between the 2 forces. The UNSC destroyer Glasgow Kiss accelerated in front of the fleet. The narrow craft turned sideways, placing itself between the incoming plasma and the Stalingrad. A dozen escape pods popped from their hull as the ship caught 3 of the 4 lances of fire. The hull heated for an instant and then shattered into fragments.
Track those pods,
Lash ordered Lieutenant Yang.
Aye, sir.
On screen, the Stalingrad took a direct hit on her port side. Plasma etched through the meters of titanium A armor plating like a blowtorch through rice paper, and her center amidships decks vented. The UNSC fleet MAC rounds impacted on the Covenant destroyer. The slugs battered through the ship's reconstituted shields and then through the hull, knocking it back so violently, it tumbled out of control into the planet's atmosphere, leaving a trail of turbulence and fire. Its engines flared and accelerated into an extremely low orbit, away from the fleet.
Cowards, Waters muttered.
I wonder, Lash replied. We've survived 5 UNSC Covenant engagements.
He stared into deep space, remembering the carnage, and that the UNSC had only won 1 of those battles.
Covenant do not simply run away, Lieutenant Commander. They might disengage to regroup, but when outgunned and outnumbered, they go down swinging.
There was only 1 conceivable reason this lone Covenant destroyer would turn tail. Lash told Lieutenant DeRuno,
We're going bright. Increase speed to flank. Hold your course.
Sir?
She leaned over her controls.
Aye, sir.
Lash keyed shipcom to engineering.
Lieutenant Commander Cho, drain the slipspace capacitors and route the power to engines. I want them 130% hot.
What had felt like victory on the bridge a moment ago faded, and Lash's officer again appeared wary and weary. There was silence over the shipcom, and then Cho replied,
Routing power now!
The dusk was out in the open, and Lash was violating the first rule of any Prowler captain, stay hidden. But every instinct he had screamed that the Covenant wouldn't be this easy to defeat, and that they'd overlooked something of vital importance. Admiral Patterson's 7 ships chased after the single Covenant vessel. They vanished as the dusk arced around the planet. Lash returned to the captain's chair and, uneasily, settled into it. Water stood next to him and whispered,
Tell me you know what you're doing, Richard.
Lash leaned forward and said nothing.
Coming up on the dark side of Onyx in 15 seconds, Lieutenant Yang said.
10, 5, 3, 2, 1.
The planet's nighttime face appeared on every view screen. Dark, save the glimmering clouds on the edge of twilight.
Hotspot, Yang shouted.
On the horizon, 27 degrees north, 118 east, recalibrating thermals to cut through atmospheric distortion.
On the main view screen, a wavering image resolved into 20 Covenant warships, climbing at flank speed through the atmosphere on an intercept vector toward Admiral Patterson's fleet. Lash jumped to his feet.
Cut engine power to 1/3, he said. Re-enable stealth protocols. Come to new bearing. Polar orbit. Get me a clear sight line to the Stalingrad.
New heading, aye,
Lieutenant DeRuno said, her voice straining as she calculated the orbit.
Brace for correction burn at 1/3 power.
The dusk pitched and tilted into a polar alignment. Engines rumbled, and the Prowler arced up toward the ice caps of Onyx.
Zenith in 23 seconds, DeRuno said.
Lash turned to Lieutenant Commander Waters.
Action report.
Waters' gaze was already locked onto his display.
Nothing. Covenant fleet is ignoring us.
Lash should have been relieved. They could have destroyed the dusk with a few laser shots. Going dark was the right thing to do. But despite his years of training in evading the enemy, Lash wished the Covenant had turned. It might have given Patterson a few extra seconds to see what was coming. He waited 15 seconds, the most agonizing quarter minute of his life, watching the clouds, landmasses, and oceans of Onyx pass under his ship. The dusk finally crested the pole, and the stars, as well as Admiral Patterson's fleet, reappeared on the forward screen. Only 100 kilometers apart, the UNSC vessels fired all magnetic accelerator cannons and launched a volley of Archer missiles at the Covenant ships racing toward them. The meteoric rounds blazed through the atmosphere, leaving smoking scars. Lasers flashed from the Covenant ships destroying incoming missiles, but they couldn't stop the point-blank fired MAC slugs.
7 Mach rounds struck the 2 lead destroyers in the Covenant line, shattered their shields, dented their armor, and pounded through hulls, crippling the vessels so they aborted their attack run as they were caught in the planet's gravity pull. One ship's engines flared, overloading as its captain attempted a survivable landing. One lone destroyer, however, spun in orbit, its forward momentum neutralized. A victory. Lash knew it would be short-lived. The enemy outnumbered them almost 3-1 with superior weapons and defensive shields. And the proximity of a gravity well meant Patterson was backed into a corner. It would be a slaughter. Plasma erupted from the Covenant fleet that looked like a solar flare as it boiled through the vacuum of space toward the UNSC ships. Patterson was no fool. He didn't attempt to evade at this range. Instead, the engines of his ships heated, and they angled into a lower orbit, accelerating into the attack. This would do nothing to stop the guided plasma, but they'd emerge going much faster, possibly fast enough to avoid a second attack. The plasma tracked the UNSC ships as they dove. A split second before it impacted, energy projectors lit on the Covenant ships, and dazzling beams of pure white radiation illuminated Patterson's ships, so bright the scene froze for an instant, burned into Lash's retinas. Explosions and showers of molten titanium filled the viewscreens and rapidly expanded into a cloud of sparks and smoke and the tumbling, cracked husks of UNSC ships. Miraculously, 5 human warships rocketed from the center of this destruction, streaming fire and venting atmosphere, thundering into the heart of the Covenant fleet. A UNSC destroyer, Iwo Jima, grazed a Covenant carrier 3 times its size, deflected off its shields, and careened into 2 other Covenant destroyers. The UNSC vessel erupted from inside, reactor overload, and single nuclear warhead detonated in an act of self-destruction. The fireball enveloped 8 nearby enemy ships, of which 6 survived behind their shimmering energy shields. The Covenant fleet was in disarray, slowed and paused to regroup. Patterson's ships continued to accelerate and arc around to the far side of Onyx. They had survived, at least for 1 more orbital pass. "Additional contacts," Yang said. He half stood from his seat and hovered over the sensor board. "Rapidly ascending from the planet's surface. Intercept course for the Covenant fleet." Lash's heart sank into his stomach. "Reinforcements," he said. Yang was silent, studying his display, and then he said, "No, sir. Look on your screen." Lash turned the tiny captain's chair display toward him and examined a ship silhouette. The computer extrapolated a rough 3-dimensional model of 3 boons and a sphere with no connecting structures. "They're 3 meters stem to stern," Yang said. "Passive radar is picking up thousands of them." The main view screen snapped to a medium orbital vantage, and Lash watched as a cloud of the tiny craft coalesced into 3 octahedral shapes. The Covenant ships turned toward this new threat, abandoning their pursuit of Admiral Patterson's battle group. Lateral lines heated, and plasma barrages arced toward the approaching alien formations. Fire rained upon the leading 8-sided construction, and an energy shield coalesced that looked like gold-dappled water. The plasma hesitated there, as if caught in a magnetic field. It heated to yellow, white-hot, and then tinged blue and ultraviolet. The plasma melted through the shield, and then passed harmlessly inside the formation.
"Plasma capture?" Waters whispered in awe. "That's a hell of a trick."
The spheres within the alien formation glowed, and from each, scintillating beams shot through the atmosphere toward the Covenant ships, comprising the leading edge of their fleet. 100 energy beams penetrated Covenant shields and sliced through their hulls. The superheated plasma inside the alien formation then streamed along the beams, coiling and writhing snake-like, and painted the damaged Covenant ships, vaporizing hulls, melting decks and superstructures like they were plastic film. 3 Covenant destroyers detonated under this combined fire. The plasma dissipated throughout the upper atmosphere, filling the near vacuum with a fading purple haze. the surviving Covenant ships struggled to accelerate out of the gravity well. The other alien ships, however, were faster and gained on them. Two Covenant vessels spun about and fired their energy projectors and lasers at the lead alien formation. The octahedral shields crackled with static and dissipated. The tiny craft within the formation bloomed into fireballs. The remaining two alien formations fired upon this Covenant rear guard. Energy beams cut their shields and blasted them to atoms. The Covenant ploy, however, had worked. The balance of their fleet had escaped the gravity of Onyx and outdistanced their persuaders. Lash's mind reeled. Who were these new aliens? Or was this a weapon captured and controlled by the Spartans sent ahead of them? The Covenant's tactics also confused Lash. They hadn't used a slipspace jump, something he was certain they would have done to escape, rather than sacrifice two ships. Suddenly, everything in this war had changed. Commander Lash wasn't sure if it was for the better or for the worse. "Break orbit. Dead slow," Lash whispered. "Move us to Lagrange 3. Lieutenant Yang, continuous check on our stealth profile. Daruno, keep on the passive radar and watch for escape pods."
"What the hell are they?"
Waters asked, staring at the viewscreen. The octahedral formations drifted apart, and the drones spread out in the upper atmosphere. Lash shook his head. "Transmission on the UNSC E-band, sir," Yang said, straining to listen into his earbud. "From the planet surface. Someone is broadcasting in the open."
"To the UNSC forces in orbit over the planet designated XF-063. This is the Artificial Intelligence Endless Summer. MIL AI ID 4279. If you want to survive the next 3 minutes, answer this hail."
Lash and Waters exchanged startled looks.
"Message repeat, sir," Yang said. "Encoded scheme in the carrier wave indicates a reply via encryption protocol Jericho."
Lash was uncertain what to do. Patterson's fleet was on the wrong side of the planet to receive this message. Covenant and alien forces of unknown disposition were too close for comfort, and for the moment, as long as the dusk was silent, they were safe.
"Drop a Black Widow comm satellite," Lash ordered, "and then move us off 30,000 meters and route a single beam. Send this to AI MIL ID 4279. This is Commander Richard Lash of the UNSC Prowler Dusk. We're listening."